It's the voice that you've been looking for. No Strings Podcast with Mike Damon comes to you every week. You can visit www.nostringspodcast.com or email info@nostringspodcast.com. No Strings Podcast. It's our voices in voice. It's No Strings with Mike Damon. Hey, hello, thank you and welcome again to No Strings, Nigeria's first LGBTIQ podcast, and I am Mike Damon. If this is your first time tuning in and you're wondering what this is about, then you need to know this. No Strings is Nigeria's first and only LGBTIQ podcast, and it brings to you every week talks relating to LGBTIQ issues, more especially as it concerns the Nigerian LGBTIQ community. And again, if this is your first time ever tuning in, then you have missed out on a whole lot of interesting things and stuff that we have talked about. But the good thing about podcast shows is that you can always have access to recorded episodes. So why don't you take the pleasure of perusing on the podcast section of our website, you know, using www.nostringspodcast.com to find more interesting episodes. Hope you enjoy them. So for this week's episode, we of course going to talk to someone really interesting, and we'll be discussing the British Nigerian LGBTIQ film. Really interesting film that tends to prove, you know, that love can actually be established and sustained between two men. Something that has been debated upon and still is for a very long period of time, you know, by different folks who tend to disagree, you know, with the notion that love can actually and does exist within the gay community. Well, if you're one of those people who strongly disagree with this, I seriously think that you should go see this film. It may just build up another twist, you know, to your next argument, or may just discourage your long-standing opinion. Who knows? And now for those of you who've always wanted a gay version of Romeo and Juliet, then why don't you just, you know, go jump right to it or something. It's a beautiful film, I say. I saw it and it changed a whole lot of things for me. Don't ask me because I wouldn't spare, you know. I'm just hoping it does the same thing for you. I have that and other things to talk about, but you know, I have to let you hear from our supporters now and then finally come back to join you up with, you know, that interesting person. Don't touch any button. I'll be right back. I am Mike Damon, and No Strings continues. Hey, catch up with all your top and local international LGBTIQ stories on KidaDiaries.com. KidaDiaries, we're here, we're queer, and we're fab.
No Strings is proudly supported by KidaDiaries.com.
Do you know that you can be a part of No Strings? Yes, you can be. Support your voice, our voices, be an ally. For a membership or support and partnership information, please email info@nostringspodcast.com or visit www.nostringspodcast.com. Of course, we always love to hear from you. It's No Strings with Mike Damon. And welcome back to No Strings, Nigeria's first LGBTIQ podcast, and I am Mike Damon. For this week's episode, I will talk to Adara Wandu, a Nigerian-British movie producer best known for her internationally well-known film, Ragtag. She will be discussing that film with us and why she decided to do a film about homosexuality at a time, especially when the subject was regarded as somewhat of a no-discourse subject and still is in some other parts of the world. This movie was shot and released in the UK. Of course, some part of it was shot here in Nigeria. Yes, in Nigeria, and was released in 2008. Such a long time, you say, but other people will say, you know, good things does last forever. The movie features the likes of Daniel Parsons as Rag and Adedamola Adelaja as Tag, two young men who deeply fell in love with each other and lived happily ever after. You know, well, yeah, it does happen. I know what you're thinking. So let's go join up with Adara now. So, hello Adara. You're welcome to No Strings, Nigeria's first LGBTIQ podcast. You know, it's always an honor to have, you know, people like you come to talk to us here in No Strings. So please, Adara, can you tell us about yourself? I mean, where you were born, family, your upbringing, and about life as Adara Wandu.
I was born in the UK, but I grew up in Nigeria and the UK, and I've been studying in the UK, Nigeria, America and France. So that's where I got my education.
Hmm.
Most of my family is still in Nigeria, so I'm in Nigeria often, even though now I'm based in Los Angeles, California.
Okay. The mainstream media has always portrayed homosexual relationships to be something that's all about sex and very unnatural. But in your film, you were able to prove that to be all wrong. Can you tell us a bit more on how you were able to do that effectively?
I always say to people that I make films about relationships between men. Sometimes these films are to do with sibling relationships between brothers. Sometimes they're to do with father-son relationships. Mm. And sometimes they're to do with sexual and romantic relationships between men. And Ragtag falls into, I think, the whole gamut of categories. You'll see how men relate to each other as brothers. You see the father-son relationship in the middle. Mm. It's very kind of important. And then there's the relationship between Rag and Tag, which is at the center of it. And I think with any sort of relationship, if you want it to last, it has to be more than just the sexual.
Mm.
And I wanted to make a film about people who were in it for the long run. Mm. They decide they want to be together and they're willing to overcome whatever obstacles they need to. And yeah, they just happen to be two young men and they do what they need to stay together.
Mm.
Sure, there's attraction. So there's a sexual chemistry that also acts perhaps as a reward for all these things they have to overcome, but the sex isn't going to be enough to keep you tied to someone for decades to come. And I think that's more what my film was about. The things, the lines that tie you together, the things that will make for a meaningful relationship, the sort of relationship that you want to fight for against all odds. And I guess that's why the sex was only part of it and not the thing in the middle.
Mm. Okay. Your film is indeed a true story of love between two wonderful young men. And given its very nature, tell us, did you have challenges finding actors for it?
Yes, I did. I had in mind the sort of people I wanted to play each part. Mm. In terms of how they looked and their manner. And the gentlemen I ended up with were completely different. I saw pretty much, I would say, all the young black actors in London who were willing to come for the audition. A lot of them were very wary about it. And I'd experienced this before when I made my first short film in America. It also had a relationship between two young men, a sexual relationship, and casting for that had been difficult because I saw lots of young actors in America, black, young male black actors in America.
Mm.
And there was that strong reluctance to kiss a man, as they said. And this one wasn't just kissing. There was going to be simulated lovemaking. So I did take an extra dimension. But I think I was able to achieve my ideal casting choices by really opening my mind, seeing everybody, even people that weren't necessarily actors to begin with.
Mm.
The young man that ended up playing Rag was actually a young man I saw around town. And I just said to myself, you look like who I imagined Rag to look like.
Mm.
Approached him out of nowhere, explained who I was, what I was doing, and asked him if he was interested in auditioning.
Mm.
I didn't tell him everything about the part. I just told him little bits to entice him. And he came. And when the rest of the cast met him, they were very excited by him. They felt that he had all the panache and all the joie de vivre, the essence of Rag. Because we'd cast Tag and we'd cast everyone else. We're just waiting to find our Rag so we could begin.
Mm.
And just the buzz that was felt by everybody who was at the audition said to me, yeah, this guy hasn't acted before, but he has what it takes to make this story real and to make the chemistry between these two actors real. And that's how I ended up casting my last and one of my most important roles, by seeing a guy in the street and asking him if he wanted to come and be in my film.
Mm. Wow. Almost like another movie there. A guy on the street turned into a movie actor. So at first, how did people react to its content and message?
The very first film festival where Ragtag premiered was in Toronto, Canada, not the main Toronto Film Festival. This was the International Film Festival, and it was quite mainstream, so people didn't necessarily know what to expect. And there was a huge debate after the screening. Quite a few older black people objected to this portrayal of love between these two young black men. But I also had a whole load of older black people embrace it as well. So I knew if some people liked it and some people didn't like it, I was probably making a film that had the right balance of things in it. I'm always suspicious if everybody likes the film, and I know if everyone dislikes it that I need to go and check and rethink what I'm doing. But yeah, it was an eye-opener, and it was quite invigorating. And after that film festival, we got invited to a bunch of others around the world. So I think it was a very, there was something in that early draft of the film that spoke to people, and it was very encouraging for me, especially as I was racing to actually finish it. So by the time I finished the London Film Festival, the London Gay and Lesbian Film Festival the following year, the film had changed a little, was tighter, and I think just a smoother story and an altogether better film for all the feedback I'd gotten going from festival to festival around the world in the preceding year.
Okay. Did you have any fears doing Ragtag? And initially, did people try to discourage you? If yes, then tell us how you were able to handle that.
Yes, I was heavily discouraged initially when I was in film school in America. Doing my summer program at USC, my professor there, when I was telling him, this is a short film I want to make, a film called Lay to Rest, which had a black priest and his black boyfriend. And the matters, the opposition they were facing from his mother and the general family dynamics between him and his brother and his sister-in-law. So I encapsulated a lot of the themes in Ragtag in that early film. And my professor was just, he couldn't understand why I wanted to make a film with homosexuality at the center of it. I kept saying, look, this is very well written. I'm sure you'll probably do a good job of it, but why do you want to make this film? It's not good for your career. You're committing career suicide at your very early stage of everything that you're doing, et cetera, et cetera. And we battled it out for most of the summer. But I was stubborn about it because I felt that this was a message or a story that needed to be told. And by the end of summer, I made my film, and he ended up being one of the biggest supporters of the film. I think he was surprised by the emotional impact of it. And he wrote me a very glowing reference letter that I used to open a few doors afterwards. And I think after that experience of winning over one of my biggest skeptics, I then felt that perhaps this is something I can do on a bigger scale when I go to do my feature film, Ragtag. So in terms of discouragement, when it came to the topic itself, I was confident that I could hopefully break through because I managed to do it before. But in terms of just making a feature film, I think those were the hardest challenges, not even necessarily the storyline, just to start and complete a film with such a limited budget and so few investors. But yeah, with the help of my family especially, they were so solid for me, and they really just backed me in everything. Even though they didn't all necessarily approve of the storyline, they made sure I survived the whole process, and I'm eternally grateful to them for that. And my friends were also a great resource. They really just rallied around me, helped me find locations, helped me find actors, helped me just find a way where there was no way doing. I tell you, this whole thing was saved by God every step of the way. God would intervene and help us find a way.
So there was a religious twist to Ragtag, where a preacher was quoting certain scriptures and using it to condemn homosexuality. Now, people have always used religion, culture, and the mention of nature to condemn homosexuality. So in your opinion, do you think all of this should be considered and consulted when making laws that's going to guide people of diverse beliefs?
I am not part of the legislature, so I don't think I can specifically comment on how laws are made. But I do think that the legislature should perhaps reflect the desires of the people that they're leading on one hand, but also show a greater wisdom. A wisdom that will come from foresight and from perhaps looking at examples around the world of the movements that are happening around the world. Progressive societies are moving towards an acceptance of love between consenting adults in all its various facets. And I'm hoping that our own country will soon get there as well, where they can just see the love between grown-ups who have their own free will and are engaged in a relationship with each other that isn't necessarily affecting anybody else, and we'll be able to just leave them be to live their own lives. Yeah, there's the religious angle in Ragtag, where Tag's father quotes various sections of the Bible. And I have been friendly with many Anglican priests. I am an Anglican myself. And I've looked at a lot of the theology behind homosexuality, the theology that speaks to it. And first of all, I always say to people, look in the New Testament. Jesus was never bothered by sexual relations between men. If it was something he thought was paramount, he would have addressed it in his ministry, but it was never something that came up. A lot of what people take us to is the Old Testament and various things there, and we know even in our daily lives that a lot of the things in the Old Testament were cancelled out by the compassion and love of Jesus Christ. And I say overall, look to that. Look to what in your heart of hearts you know to be the right way to treat your brothers and sisters in this world, with compassion, with love, with kindness, and with respect, especially when they are living their lives peacefully, engaged in an act of love with each other that is not being forced on them and is something that they are doing in their right mind and with full knowledge of the consequences and the general things that are involved. So yeah, if Archbishop Desmond Tutu has no issues with homosexuals, I don't know why anybody else in the Anglican Church is making noise about it, essentially.
So can you tell us what you were planning to achieve with your film Ragtag and why it was important to you telling that story?
For me, I wanted to tell a story that reflected my UK life at the time. In fact, a lot of Ragtag was shot in the area where I was living, in the building where I was living. We used the apartments of a lot of my neighbors who are also my friends. And I wanted to capture that time in your life where you're just about to embark on decisions that will probably affect the rest of your life. Up until then, a lot of the decisions have been made for you by other people. But this is a time when you take control and you begin to work out who you are and what's important to you. I thought the story of Rag and Tag would be a great way to catalyze a lot of these ideas and thoughts that I had. And also show a realistic portrayal of the life of Africans in the diaspora, people from the West Indies, the Caribbean in the diaspora, living their UK and their lives relating to where they were also from, be it Nigeria, be it the West Indies, be it Ghana. I wanted some sort of story that would show that and also add the dimension of how the way we live now is quite different from the way our ancestors lived, and having these young men in the relationship that they're in and showing a reflection of it in their family history as well, just to show that, yeah, these sort of relationships are not new. It's the way we treat them that seems to change with each generation. And hopefully, as we move forward, each generation will be more understanding and open-hearted about dealing with people in love.
Beautiful. I understand that your film Ragtag was partly shot in Nigeria and a large part of it was shot in the UK. What challenges did you have, you know, bringing your project to Nigeria, you know, given how Nigerians react to the subject of homosexuality?
Ragtag was partially shot in Nigeria, and I did most of the initial shooting in the UK. I was shot for 4 weeks, and then we did 2 weeks of shooting in Nigeria. By the time we took the production to Nigeria, I had pared down the cast and crew, got new crew in Nigeria. I needed to cast a few more people in Nigeria. Mm. And I had my reservations, but I also knew that I was going back to a place where I was surrounded by family who would support me and make life a lot easier than it had been in London, where I only had my mum, who was visiting at the time, and my brother, who was visiting at the time, and a few more family members. But in Nigeria, my dad was back there. My mum came back. My brother was also back in Nigeria by that point. I had my aunts and uncles.
Mm.
And one of my castmates, one of the main characters, also had his people there. And between both of us, so many doors were open that in some ways the Nigerian shoot was even easier than the UK shoot.
Mm.
And yes, I was a little hesitant about telling the cast, the new cast and the new crew, what the film was about. And I only showed them the section of the script that were relevant to what they were doing. But Nigerians are smart people. They soon got a sense of what the film was really about. And they just showed great maturity.
Mm.
They, in fact, were just saying that they were enjoying making a film that wasn't about mothers-in-law and witchcraft and all these other things. And for them, it was a refreshing change to do something completely different and perhaps exercise some of their acting abilities to a greater extent.
Mm. So, do you consider yourself to be an activist? And what do you think is expected of a true activist?
I think of myself more as an ally than an activist. I don't think I've earned enough in terms of my work so far to qualify as an activist. I'm hoping that by the time I've built a bigger body of work that I, you know, I can step up and be regarded amongst those that have made some sort of impact. But I feel right now that my humble contribution, even though I think I've made one feature film and five short films that have homosexuals at the center of them, it's still not perhaps at the level of someone like Ang Lee, who made Brokeback Mountain and he made Eat, Drink, Man, Woman and a few other films like that. I think he, as a director, is a quiet activist and an ally, as well as actual homosexual directors out there that are making films that are impacting the world and helping bring greater understanding. So yeah, I count myself as an ally, and hopefully I am helping add to the acceptance of love in this world.
Okay, thank you, Adaora. Here now, we'll take a quick time out to come back finally to continue with this conversation. I'll be back shortly. Don't go anywhere. No Strings continues, and I am Mike Damon. I'll be back.
You're listening to No Strings.
Do you know that you can be a part of No Strings? Yes, you can be. Support your voice, our voices, be an ally. For a membership or support and partnership information, please email import@nostringspodcast.com or visit www.nostringspodcast.com. Of course, we always love to hear from you.
It's No Strings with Mike Damon.
Hey, welcome back to No Strings, and I am Mike Damon. Here in No Strings, we've been talking with the wonderful Adaora Wandu, and she's been discussing her film actually with us, Ragtag. And also we've been talking topics, or rather subjects, relating to homosexuality in general. Adaora, I am sure you're aware of the situation in Nigeria in terms of the active anti-gay law. So tell us, what do you think about it in general?
It makes me sad. It really does. For example, right now I am in a serious relationship with a white man. It's the first time I've dated a white guy seriously, as opposed to my past history of dating, which has really been mainly black guys, mainly Nigerians. And I know there was a time, especially here in this country, this USA, where me and my boyfriend would be seen as committing a crime by him being white and me being black and being seen together. And they could have locked us up and they could have done all sorts of things to us. And now the eyes have opened. There aren't any laws against it. There's just the stigma in some parts of society. And even when we're out and about, I do feel a little self-conscious being with him. But I know that the feelings between us are real and they transcend a lot of these things that people might just be seeing, their own stereotypes of what a white man is doing with a black woman, etc. And so that's the lens I'm looking at these anti-gay laws. I'm hoping that with time, in Nigeria, we might not have the whole of society accepting the fact that two men or two women can be together in a loving relationship that is healthy and a benefit to society. But our laws will reflect the fact that we're forward-minded enough to understand that this can be real. The same way that now in society, I know that me and my white boyfriend will not be locked up because we're together. I hope that homosexuals in Nigeria will be able to enjoy that privilege very soon. The rest of the world seems to be moving towards it. I hope Nigeria will move towards that as well.
Okay. So, do you agree with the notion that says that Nigeria is no home for homosexuals? I hear people say that a lot.
Nigeria is not necessarily the most welcoming environment for homosexuals, especially when it comes to our laws. But to be honest, in comparison to lots of African countries, I think Nigeria is relatively tolerant towards homosexuals. I think Nigerians, at their hearts, have a live and let live philosophy, which hopefully allows the common sense to just let people be. If they're not hurting anybody, they're just living their lives peacefully in a loving relationship. I think a lot of Nigerians are willing to just turn a blind eye. They don't necessarily have to embrace, but at least if they can just respect or remain indifferent and just leave people to live their lives. I think there are lots of parts of Nigeria where this is possible. That said, I do know some homosexual couples in Nigeria that have felt that they had to leave because they weren't safe there. And this is a crying shame, but for those who don't have the luxury of being able to leave Nigeria, I still hope and believe that there are pockets of understanding where people will just let you be, let you get on with your life with your partner.
Okay, some Africans say that homosexuality is not in our blood. You know, would you counter a statement like this? And if you would do, what would you say to it?
I always find this homosexuality is not in our blood amusing. Homosexuality has existed throughout history in all cultures. Even in Africa, there was even a time in Nigeria, not just Africa, where within the age groups, homosexual relationships were encouraged because they felt that it would keep the boys occupied and keep them away from women until they were ready to settle down and marry them. So all these age grades, they'd encourage the young men to couple up. And this was not that far away in our recent history. It's only really recently, in the last 100 or so years, with the coming of the Europeans and some of the European ideas about homosexuality, that homosexuality began to be stigmatized in Africa. So historically speaking, homosexuality is very much a factor in our society as much as it's been all over the world. You'll see homosexuality in the animal kingdom quite comfortably, and you'll see homosexuality in society, and the figure of about 10% homosexuality in each society, I think, rings true in Nigeria or Africa or the whole world.
We have heard a whole lot of things about life outside Nigeria, and it is understood that you are not in Nigeria currently. So how is life in UK in terms of discrimination and survival as a black person?
Well, yes, I grew up in the UK as well as in Nigeria, and I spent a lot of time in France, and now I'm based here in the US. And I found, it's been interesting, the way I am seen as a black person in these different parts of the world. In the UK, I think our history of racial discrimination, is not as deep as other places. I think with the UK, the coming of the black people has been more, in more recent times, the first big set of arrivals was in the 1960s, and these people came willingly, and they were actually invited after the war with the Windrush boat coming from the Caribbean and bringing an influx of black people. I think that's also impacted the way black people are seen in the UK. Whereas in France, there's never really been that huge influx. It's always been these drips and drabs coming from the French colonies. So I think there was that whole perception there. And where I was living in France was bordered with Italy. And unfortunately, a lot of the Africans and Nigerians coming into Italy, female Nigerians, were coming into prostitution. I think that impacted the way I was seen whenever I was in Italy. So that was quite strange for me. And now being in the US, where the history of black people is deep and it's relatively dark and it's long running for several centuries, I found the way I am seen is also very, very different. As much as I see myself as a Nigerian in America or a black British person in America, the majority of Americans tend to see me as an African American because that's what they're used to dealing with, and they have certain boxes, I think, that they put African Americans in. And when I don't fit comfortably in those boxes, I think sometimes it can be confusing and baffling and sometimes even distressing for them. But that all said, I have met lots of great, genuine people with open minds and open hearts. And I've had a good run. I'm enjoying being here in LA, especially because the climate is closer to Nigeria. Thank God. Whereas in the UK, the climate wasn't like Nigeria at all. And yeah, the young man I'm in a relationship with is American. So I have to say that I've had various good benefits and good experiences here.
Okay. So if you were to suggest movies similar to your work, Ragtag, which one will you suggest to me and my listeners now?
Oh, my goodness me. I don't know if they're necessarily similar to Ragtag in that they have Nigerian protagonists or even black men at the heart of them. All I can really name are some of my favorite films that have some element of homosexuality in them. One of my absolute favorites is The Blossoming of Máximo Olivero. And that, I think most people would see as more of a transgender related film, but it is a beautiful story about this young boy growing up in another developing country, which is why sometimes I think of it in the same spirit as Ragtag. This is a society that isn't Western and isn't necessarily modern, but the way he's embraced by his family and loved by his family is just a beautiful thing to behold. And I think it's a very encouraging film for those who find themselves to be different from perhaps their brothers and their sisters around them. I have a fondness for Brokeback Mountain, mainly because I read it a long time ago and was so deeply moved by the story. The film is also very well executed, but I also recommend people go back to the short story as well. In terms of other works that have some black artists, Noah's Ark, that's Noah's Ark with a C, not K, the TV series and the film, Noah's Ark Jumping the Broom. I really enjoyed all of that. The DL Chronicles, that's more of a TV series as well, but there are a series of short films as part of the DL Chronicles. There's another film that some say was the first black homosexual film done in Africa. I think it's called Dakan, D-A-K-K-A-N. But in terms of other films that are kind of like Ragtag but don't really feature black people like that, I am a big fan of this film called Big Eden, as in the Garden of Eden, Big Eden. That's a beautiful love story. And another film that kind of inspired Ragtag in so many ways was called Beautiful Thing. Beautiful Thing, which was shot in the UK as well, and between two young men. And then a film I like a lot is Private Romeo, and it's a very strange retelling of the Romeo and Juliet story based in a military academy. So I think that was touchingly done. So I think when I'm looking for things that are similar to Ragtag, I look for a love story with a happy ending, essentially. And the ones I've listed are quite happy or optimistic in their endings.
So, do you have something you're currently working on? And if yes, please tell us about it, because I trust it will be interesting.
I am just rounding up a new short film, which is quite different from a lot of the short films I've done. This has three women at its heart, three young women. And it's more of a dark fairy tale, in fact. Very tiny and hopefully very impactful. And I'm also working on a few TV shows. There's a project perhaps I'll be shooting in Nigeria, soap opera, that isn't very Ragtag-ish, but might be lots of fun when we manage to put everything together. I am also working with my reality TV show. I made a dating show called A Suitable Spouse.
Wow.
Which you can find on my website, or find links on my website, www.adora.net. That's www.adora.net. And in fact, my website will have updates of a lot of the new things I'm working on soon. And I look forward to making more love stories that show men at the heart of them as well.
Wow, nice. Really wonderful things you have going on there. So, and then finally, why did you choose to make a film about homosexuality?
I would say that we all need to find something that we find interesting enough to sustain us through the film making process, which is very, very hard. I've done a lot of difficult things in my life, but making a film is definitely one of the hardest, just in terms of personal resources and the impact it has on you, your family, your friends, and the strain it puts on so many things. So if you're going to make a film on your own, it needs to be something that you are very interested in and which you feel will have some sort of impact out there in the world. And I've always been a big advocate of love in all its forms, and I feel as if homosexuality might be one of the last bastions of resistance in our country and the world. And if I can help in any way make the world more understanding of the beauty that is love generally, I feel like my work is done. So yeah, that's, I think, the primary reason I made a film, or have been making films that have elements of homosexuality in them. And I think that is everything. It has been a pleasure to be part of this No Strings podcast. And I hope that you and your mission are able to bring greater understanding to the issue of homosexuality in our culture and the wider world. And I hope that I can continue to be an ally to my homosexual brothers and sisters out there in the world, and we can create a place that celebrates love and not a place that denounces it. Thank you.
Thank you to Adara Uwandu for coming on to No Strings. And trust me, it has been really interesting for me here talking to you. So guys, if you're looking for something to spice up your weekend with, then you need to see Ragtag. There's everything you need to see in it. The beautiful romance between two wonderful men. I mean, two men who actually and truly fall in love. Not the year one, of course. This one is actually called a relationship. This one is real. You see it in the eyes. And oh yes, there's nude. It was all enriching. The sweet lovemaking scenes were indeed beautiful. Never knew gay relationships could be that beautiful. Well, I know that. But Ragtag gave it an extra twist and presented it in a very natural way. How about the banter between father and son? You know, the counter scriptures quoted between father and son. And how mommy was there to support his son using the phrase, love is love. Well, let me not be a spoiler. Please go say it. So this is where we draw the curtains and say bye-bye. I will see you next week for another exciting episode. Please see the new website, www.nostringspodcast.com, for all other interesting episodes that you have missed. You can as well follow the conversation. Of course, it continues on Facebook using facebook.com/nostringspodcast and Twitter at nspodcast1. Or you can add me on the BlackBerry contacts on certain episodes of certain posters of No Strings. You can as well email info@nostringspodcast.com. Until next week, bye-bye.
Dive into the LGBT world. Get it all in one package. entertainment, music, gossip, an exclusive interview, only on No Strings
with Mike Damon.